Welcome along to the show if you're just joining me. It's Sam Fraser in the chair and with you till 6 o'clock this Monday evening. Now, this weekend, members of the Thomas Hardy Society made their annual pilgrimage to Westminster Abbey to commemorate the anniversary of the death of Dorset's best-known author and poet. To tell us more about the event, I'm joined by Mark Chutter, chairman of the Thomas Hardy Society. Afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Sam. Good afternoon, everyone.
It's lovely to have you there. Now, I didn't know that this little ceremony took place every year. Tell us a little bit about it and why it's important to you.
So basically, Thomas Hardy, our famous and beloved Wessex poet and writer, died in 1928. And of course, his heart is buried at Stinsford Church in Dorset, near Dorchester, and his ashes are buried in Poets' Corner. So, and it's really important that every single year there has been a pilgrimage, like you said, to Westminster Abbey to commemorate our wonderful writer amongst all those other writers of the literary canon in Poets' Corner. So it's a marvellous event for our society.
So how did it come that his heart and his ashes were buried separately?
Yes. Well, it's a very interesting point. It's a very contentious point, Sam, because, you know, people were sort of quite up in arms about it. Sylvia Townsend Warner, who's a local writer, we're hopefully going to get a statue for her in Dorchester soon, next Christmas. She wrote in her diary that she thought it was just tragic, you know, that it was, you know, his body was being sort of displaced like that, you know, between Westminster and, of course, Dorset. But actually, there is a lot of sense in that because, of course, Hardy lived in London for a while. He had real links with London and he wrote a lot of his work and poetry, you see, in London as well. So there is that link. So it was just decided on like that because he was such an important figure and he must be in Poets' Corner.
Well, he was an important figure and very important to the identity of the county of Dorset. How long has the society existed and what does it do to keep his memory alive?
So the Thomas Hardy Society was formed in 1968 and it organises walks, talks, conferences, major scholars come here from America and Japan and across the world. So it really is, Sam, an international society. But obviously, it's very much based in Dorchester as well. So it's got a real local concern, but also a national and also international concern as well, to share the love of Hardy, to share his work, the knowledge, and also the way that he described Dorset in the context of Victorian culture and early 20th century.
And of course, that still captures the imagination. And I'm thinking about the recent films that we've had, the adaptations that continue to bring great productions to Wessex, to Dorset.
Oh, yes. And I think Hardy's work, Sam, really does inspire cinematography. So in other words, I think it really inspires directors to, it's got a filmic quality to it because of the landscape. I mean, if you think about the Schlesinger 1960s, Far From the Madding Crowd, I mean, that's just such a wonderful film alongside the more contemporary 2015 Kerry Mulligan version as well. So it really does inspire. I think he wrote in a very visual way. That's what I'm talking about, isn't it? His visual quality, the landscape, the characterization. And I think he was really talking about how life is, how hard it was, and the context of, for instance, the position of women during that time as well. And, you know, how he's got Bathsheba saying, "I hate to be thought of as men's property," you know, almost a sort of real strong female character, you know, during this period.
Absolutely. She says, I shall astonish you all. I think about Bathsheba often, yes. Mark. She's a woman after my own heart. Yes. But we think about...
She's wonderful.
Thomas Hardy as a novelist, because we know those novels so well. But a poet, a really important poet too. How do you feel about him? Because lots of people, they say, oh, I love the novels, or I love the poetry. Where do you stand?
Well, I stand in a mixture of responses to that, really, because, and I'll tell you what people sort of ask me as well as chair of the society. So I feel that obviously what we must remember about Hardy, initially he was an architect, and of course, sadly, his building where he trained with John Hicks has sadly just been sort of burnt down, the Gorge Cafe in South Street in Dorchester. And then he became obviously a writer in terms of a novelist, and then finally became a poet, because Jude the Obscene, well, Jude the Obscure, but of course it was renamed Jude the Obscene by the Bishop of Wakefield. He publicly burnt it and said it was an obscene text. And of course, after writing Jude, he never wrote another novel again and turned to poetry. And of course, the poetry is absolutely key, because it talks about his life with his first wife, Emma Lavinia Gifford, who he met in Cornwall. And of course, their relationship was wonderful to begin with and then turned sour. And of course, you know, the story at Maxgate, where Emma lived in the attic.
Oh, yes.
And they had separate exits and entrances to the house, and they stopped speaking. She wrote a little piece also, you know, Thoughts on My Husband, What I Think of My Husband, which was burnt after her death in 1912. Hardy didn't want anybody to read that. I think what's interesting about it is I see him as an architect, and then he became an architect of words.
Oh, I like what you've done there.
That's the way I see it. Yes, I think he became an architect of words. And I think those words, like in the novels, right from the beginnings of Under the Greenwood Tree, one of his first novels, right up to Tess and Jude the Obscure, obviously Jude the Obscure, his final novel, and then really seeping into the poetry. And I think if you read... Under the Greenwood Tree against Jude, you can see the sophistication of his work. And also read something like Under the Greenwood Tree, which is a wonderful novel, but then read it against something like The Darkling Thrush, which is such a sophisticated poem. So you can see his maturation of style from architecture to novel writing and then to poetry.
Well, Mark, I can hear your passion for Hardy, and I'm so glad that you were able to go up to Westminster Abbey and pay tribute to him on what would have been the anniversary of his... Because he died on the 11th of January, didn't he?
He did, yes. And, you know, his passing, you know, he lived into his 80s, but he was such a wonderful writer, and he should be remembered for the man of words that he was, because he was a man that used to notice such things.
Mark, it's been lovely speaking to you. I know that you've got a load of things coming up for 2025. Do you want to just name a couple of things that are going on for the Hardy Society?
Yes, thank you. In February, we've got a wonderful study day about Hardy and architecture at the King's Arms in Dorchester. And then, of course, in April, we've got a Jude the Obscure study day at the beginning of April at the King's Arms. So please do go onto our website to Hardy Events and have a look at all of the things that we are offering to yourselves, and join the Hardy Society.
Do you know, I'm going to be there. I'll be there front row. Mark Chatter, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on BBC Radio Solent. That was Mark Chatter of the Thomas Hardy Society. He's the chairman, and clearly knows so much about it, and it's just inspired me to pick up Under the Greenwood Tree, which is the one I haven't read yet. I hope that you found that interesting. Perhaps you're going to pick up a Thomas Hardy novel or read some of the poetry too.